Hello and welcome to episode 677 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. It is my pleasure to be with you this evening. My name is Terrence M. Stanton. We are recording on Monday, October the 9th, 2023, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin with the Monday prayer to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary to obtain holy perseverance by the great saint and doctor of the church, Alphonsus Liguori. O Queen of Heaven, I, who was once a miserable slave of Lucifer, now dedicate myself to thee to be thy servant forever. I offer myself to honor thee and serve thee during my whole life. Do thou accept me and refuse me not as I should deserve. O my mother, in thee have I placed all my hopes. From thee do I expect every grace. I bless and thank God, who in his mercy has given me this confidence in thee, which I consider a pledge of my salvation. Alas, miserable wretch that I am, I have hitherto fallen, because I have not had recourse to thee. I now hope that through the merits of Jesus Christ and thy prayers, I have obtained pardon, but I may again lose divine grace. The danger is not past. My enemies do not sleep. How many new temptations have I still to conquer? Ah, my most sweet lady, protect me and permit me not again to become their slave. Help me at all times. I know that thou wilt help me, and that with thy help I shall conquer if I recommend myself to thee. But this is what I fear. I fear that in time of danger I may neglect to call upon thee and thus be lost. I ask thee then for this grace. Obtain that in the assaults of hell I may always have recourse to thee, saying, Mary, help me. My mother, permit me not to lose my God. Today, friends, we're continuing to look at the Fatima Crusader, issue 131 from the fall of 2023. It's entitled Exposed Errors of the 2023 Synod, and it is published, by the Fatima Center, and this article is written by Father Terry Brennan. There's a picture at the top of the so-called Abrahamic Family Center, an interfaith complex that opened on February 16, 2023. Father Brennan begins by saying, where are we? How did we get here? Catholics today are confused. They hear priests and bishops disagree on matters of morals, doctrine, and worship. Catholics are clearly not united. The church today seems to contradict what it stood for previously. By the way, I think I said this at the outset, the article is entitled One Religion or Many. To find out where we are and how we got lost, we need to do what a good wilderness guide would do, retrace his steps to the point where we took a wrong turn. We need to go back to the point in church history when there was no confusion or contradiction and see where the divergence occurred. The sovereignty of Christ. Let us begin with papal teaching that fortified Catholics under one banner. In Annum Sacrum, 1899, Pope Leo XIII extolled devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. This encyclical is far more than a call to pious devotion. It is a prophetic call to defeat religious indifferentism 70 years before that heresy overran the church. The Pope begins his encyclical by focusing on the universal kingship of Christ. Leo XIII teaches that Jesus Christ is the supreme Lord. His empire extends not only over those who belong to the church, but even to those who reject the church's authority to teach and govern in Christ's name, and those who do not have the Christian faith. The whole human race is truly under the headship of Jesus Christ, who has sovereign power over all things. Pope Leo XIII draws these logical and magnificent conclusions. As the Father gives all power in heaven and on earth to Jesus, Matthew 28:18, Christ's empire must be supreme, absolute, and independent of the will of any other, and all in heaven and earth ought to obey Christ. Our Lord commanded his apostles to preach over the whole earth, to gather all men into his church, and to bind them by laws which none may reject without risking eternal salvation. Furthermore, Christ reigns over men because he snatched us from the power of darkness. Therefore, not only Catholics, but also all people have become to him a purchased people, 1 Peter 2:9. The Pope explicitly teaches that infidels themselves are subject to the power and dominion of Jesus Christ. Leo XIII excludes no one from Christ's reign. A pope who knew how to pope. Pope Leo XIII's unambiguous teaching is that Christ's kingship is supreme and absolute. His majesty's doctrines, his laws, and his person have no equal. They do not allow any other alternatives. Is this too harsh? Not when we recall that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. As John 14:6 tells us, Jesus is not one out of many choices. Leo XIII does not hold back on the consequences of looking elsewhere for salvation. By God's eternal decree, the salvation of all men depends upon Jesus Christ. Those who abandon him become guilty by that very fact, in their blindness and folly of their own ruin. Absolutely, if I could echo Father Brennan's sentiment, it's not multiple choice here. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. It's not Muhammad, who probably didn't even exist. It's not Buddha. It's not Mary Baker Eddy. It's not Joseph Smith. It's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The role of the church. Because Christ is the universal king, and because this king has a mystical bride, it follows that the one holy Catholic and apostolic church has a powerful and indispensable role in God's plan for salvation. Leo XIII decreed that the most important duty of the church is to defend and to propagate throughout the world the kingdom of the Son of God and to bring all men to salvation. The Pope explains, Jesus willed to perpetuate his office to the church. He confided to all her means of man's salvation and commanded that all be subject to her. The way to reach Christ is through the church, and the practice of the church has always been the same: to hold as outside the Catholic communion whoever would recede in the least degree from any point of doctrine proposed by her authoritative magisterium. Therefore, all other sects, group, or religious organizations do not have the right to teach men divine truth and do not have the power to sanctify men. This foundational teaching is summarized by the ancient and venerable maxim, extra ecclesiam nulla salus, no salvation outside the church. This simple and powerful message has been taught by the magisterium's extraordinary, infallible authority at least four times, was unanimously asserted by the church fathers, and was consistently taught by St. Peter and all his successors for 20 centuries. Every catechism taught this. Every Catholic knew this. The matter was clear and settled. But then came the sad deconstruction of this venerable and timeless doctrine. Welcome to the New World Order. The coup to uncrown the King of Kings was fomenting at the same time that Leo XIII was defending Christ's enthronement. The diabolic machinations to obstruct and to eliminate mankind's salvation focused on attacking the Bride of Christ. The aftermath of the vicious French Revolution and the underhanded workings of Freemasonry are two of the external attacks on the church. The propagators of modernism in the 19th and 20th centuries complemented the attacks with internal rot. But it was at Vatican II that the church herself, in a formal way, introduced the seeds of religious indifferentism into her official protocol. A new orientation burst upon the ecclesial scene. Now the church was to focus on man rather than on God. Religious unity through conversion was to be replaced by an ecumenism of convergence. The immaculate truth of Catholicism somehow needed improvement by juxtaposing it with the errors of Protestantism, Judaism, Islam, and other religions. This was soon followed by an encyclical, Redemptor Hominis, that expanded indifferentism into every facet of church life by providing the philosophical justification for a novel mindset. Following this rotten trajectory, the Synod on Synodality is on course to accompany anyone and everyone as they pursue their own truth. Church hierarchs no longer inform men where the truth can be found, as well as the grace to recognize and live in accordance with truth. Instead, dialogue with error that leads to compromise is praised. The great error: God is not a Trinity. The error of indifferentism gained a doctrinal foothold through Unitatis Redintegratio, Vatican II's document on ecumenism. Here it was declared that Christians, Jews, and Muslims all worship the same God. Since no Jew or Muslim would ever worship Jesus as the second person of the Godhead, this statement is flatly erroneous. But more so, this purported dogma has the deleterious effect of dethroning Jesus to be less than God. No Jew or Muslim recognizes Jesus as divine. So the only logical way to understand this teaching and new praxis is for Catholics to debase Jesus by implicitly, silently denying his divinity. This is the only way one can assert that the three great monotheistic religions, quote-unquote, all worship the same God. If Christ is not God, then he has no right to an absolute and supreme kingship. All this is heresy. It is indifferentism. It is a subtle first step to merge and equalize Catholicism with other religions. This is the first instance in the Catholic Church's history that she officially contravened Christ's divinity and kingship. Redemptor Hominis. Within a decade, what followed was Pope John Paul II's first encyclical, Redemptor Hominis, 1979. A pope's first encyclical sets the tone of his papacy, and this encyclical is a bombshell. With it, he set forth his philosophy regarding the nature of mankind. This encyclical redefines the very nature of the Church by attributing to mankind some of the basic attributes of Holy Mother Church. Its teaching was so unprecedented and pervasive that its ripples are now turning into tidal waves at the Synod of Synodality. Here are a few examples. Redemptor Hominis opines, the apostolic and missionary unity by which we can come close to the heritage of the human spirit is manifested in all religions. Catholic truth is, unity is only found in truth. There can only be unity in the kingship of Christ. Redemptor Hominis opines, the missionary attitude always begins with a feeling of deep esteem for what is in man. Catholic truth is, all missionary work begins and ends with love and reverence for God and his kingdom. Redemptor Hominis opines, the role of the Church is to help all men to find Christ, in parentheses, the termite is at work. Catholic truth is, Redemptor Hominis fails to say the Church is to help all men find Christ in the Church herself. This negligence paves the way to find Christ wherever your feelings or opinions lead. Redemptor Hominis opines, Jesus is the chief way for the Church. In parentheses, Father Brennan writes, greater termite devastation. Catholic truth is, Jesus is the only way for all men. Redemptor Hominis clearly leaves open the door to reject the Church as the only way and to look for another. Redemptor Hominis opines, the Church is the guardian of a great treasure, namely humanity. Catholic truth is, the Church is the guardian of God's revelation, true doctrine, the true worship of God, Holy Mass, and the sacraments, fonts of sanctifying grace. Redemptor Hominis opines, the Church's fundamental solicitude is that life in the world should conform more to man's surpassing dignity with all its aspects, so as to make that life ever more human. Catholic truth is, the Church's fundamental solicitude is the salvation of souls. The new message is clear. Redemptor Hominis subtly states the Church must conform to man, and the world need not conform to Christ, but to man. Finally, Redemptor Hominis opines, each man is united with Christ and included in the mystery of redemption. Catholic truth is, baptism unites us to Christ and includes us in the mystery of redemption. Redemptor Hominis' teaching means no man needs to belong to the Church since he already belongs to Christ. The termite of indifferentism. The best way to destabilize a structure is to do so quietly, unbeknownst to those around. If you take a sledgehammer to the beams of your neighbor's barn, he will try to stop you. Far more clever and sinister to send in termites instead. Many Catholics can identify attacks that have pummeled Holy Mother Church in recent decades. They know the new liturgy does not resemble the Catholic Mass. Few Catholics believe in all the doctrines of the faith that their grandparents did. Something is rotten, and not just in Denmark. What do Catholics blame for all this confusion and contradiction? Hardly any Catholic will say that indifferentism is destroying the Church. But isn't it a fact that we all see a watering down of our Catholic faith? If that is what we see, then we can blame indifferentism for this. What is maddening is that many Catholics actually say indifferentism is a good thing. Why? And it's funny as I'm reading this, but maybe not funny, sad looking back on it. When I used to go to a church in Western New York, a particular priest was known as holding fast to sound doctrine, and he had a sign outside of his church that said, "The faith, it's not watered down here." And I remember thinking at the time, amen, that's right. This man's preaching the truth. But, and this is a good man, a holy man, but he was saying the Novus Ordo Mass, which isn't even really Mass, properly speaking. As a very holy young lady I know once told me, Latin Mass is the only Mass. This priest said the Novus Ordo, and the sign outside his church said, "The faith, it's not watered down here." Well, yes, the Novus Ordo is the definitive watering down of the Catholic faith. Now, I'm not calling out this individual by name, and I didn't even realize it myself at the time. This was over a decade ago. But reflecting back on it now, I'm thinking that, yeah, over the last several decades and since Vatican II, even those of us who think we are Orthodox, quote unquote, if we are attending the Novus Ordo, no, we're not doing what the Lord wants. That's why it's so important for you and your families to get to the traditional Latin Mass or the Divine Liturgy. People who go to the Novus Ordo, sooner or later, lose the faith. And if they don't lose the faith entirely, their understanding of the faith is very skewed by virtue of the fact that they're not getting the fullness of truth. They're not getting the beauty and the reverence and the sacred nature of the Mass that they're getting when they attend the traditional Roman Rite. To continue the article, Father Brennan says, "This misguided philosophy has metastasized into the Synod on Synodality. The Church has told herself that she must listen, not instruct. She must not evangelize. She must accompany anyone and everyone as they pursue their own truth. Why? Because fallen man holds the truth, not the Church. And the Church must now listen to and conform to what sinful man says and wants." And there are a few pictures on this page that I'm looking at. It shows John Paul II kissing the Quran on May 14th, 1999. Benedict XVI visiting a Jewish synagogue on January 18th, 2010. And Pope Francis permitting and participating in the idolatrous Pachamama, quote, prayer service in St. Peter's Basilica on October 7th, 2019. It's just awful to look at. It literally makes me nauseous. The next section here is a rose-colored path to atheism. Religious indifferentism permits there to be more than one way to ultimate happiness and to God. The way could be Buddhism, Judaism, Islam, New Age, or even one's personal spirituality. The basic premise is that there are many truths, or that truth is unknowable or simply doesn't matter, because it tolerates all heresies. It is the culmination of modernism. It can be called the magisterium of modernism. Indifferentism insists that each person can have his own truth and tolerates all forms of immorality. In fact, its morality boils down to avoiding offending anyone, being kind and tolerating everything. It is Catholic wokeism. Indifferentism relishes church hopping and choosing a place that best conforms to my feelings and tastes. We hear, I go to fill in the blank because of the music or the preaching or the fellowship or the good feeling that I get. Rather than seeking the truth, these lost souls seek to satisfy their feelings. And when feelings lead away from the truth, then feelings are a false or even an evil guide. Well, just recently, if I can interject again, I heard a man talk about attending the traditional Latin Mass. He usually goes to the Novus Ordo, and he said, I didn't get a lot out of it. Well, unfortunately, that man was completely missing the point. Holy Mass isn't about you. Holy Mass is all about God. It's not about what you get out of it. And trust me, you get a lot out of it, especially if you're receiving our Lord in a state of grace in the body, his body, blood, soul, and divinity. You are getting an enormous amount of grace. But Mass is primarily about worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ, giving all of ourselves to him, the entirety of our mind, the entirety of our body, everything that we have, giving it over to him. That's why we have the various postures of standing and kneeling, glorifying our Lord in everything that we do, because ultimately Mass is completely about him, and the focus has to be totally on him, not on us. To continue, indifferentism dominated World Youth Day. Groups were led to other places of worship, thereby insinuating that all religions are good and worthy to be explored. And why not? Popes have prayed in mosques and synagogues, even kissed the Quran, because they accept indifferentism. The house of worship at Abu Dhabi is the natural and logical outcome of indifferentism. A visible edifice giving a food court for a choice of worship. And the culmination of indifferentism occurs when the holy sacrifice of the Mass is profaned. That is what happened at St. Peter's Basilica in 2019, when the demon idol Pachamama, I cringe at even saying that, was incorporated into the sacred liturgy. This public gesture has now led to episcopal-approved liturgical words at indigenous people's masses that proclaim absolute pantheism. We have gone from Christ the King to pantheism. Indifferentism will always dethrone Jesus and lead us away from the truth. Pope St. Pius X rightly taught that Protestantism was the first step on the path of indifferentism. The second was modernism, and the third was atheism. We have arrived. The solution? Back to basics. Naturally, the only solution is for all Catholics to read and apply the teachings of the Church, which have stood the test of time. It also means not compromising on any dogma of the faith, ever. In another prophetic utterance, Pope Leo XIII instructs us specifically on the solution for exterminating religious indifferentism from the Church. We must rebuild from the basic building blocks that Leo XIII stresses. Teachings on the supremacy of the Church, the lofty doctrines of marriage, the proper use of property, and the state's right relation to the Church. And the basics of all basics about the Church can be seen in two dictums of Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and upon this rock I will build my Church. Procedamus and Pace. Father Terry Brennan received his Bachelor of Arts degree from Ohio State University, a Juris Doctor degree from American University in Washington, D.C., and his degree in theology from the Pontifical North American College in Rome. Prior to ordination, he worked as an attorney in New Mexico in the Archdiocese of Santa Fe. He offered the traditional Mass at the oldest church in the USA, San Miguel Mission, served as pastor for numerous Indian pueblos, helped start a charter school, and founded a woman's drug and alcohol rehabilitation center called Sangre de Cristo House. Now retired, he remains a well-known retreat speaker. May God bless Father Brennan. He's obviously a good man. I am going to conclude, friends, by once again mentioning Helping Autism Through Learning and Outreach, available on the web at halo-soma.org. Also, please tune into episodes 277 and 548 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast for more information about RPM, which is an acronym for Rapid Prompting Method, a system of communication for non-speakers. It has been a revolutionary breakthrough for the non-speaking community, just like sign language was a revolutionary breakthrough for the deaf. Before my niece was 8, we did not even know her favorite color. We had to guess at her wants and needs. Now we know she's a comprehensive genius who knows how to compose music, who's a gifted poet, a brilliant mathematician, knows foreign languages. We would have known none of that were it not for RPM. Imagine how frustrated you would be, friends, if you were in a prison of silence, if you were unable to communicate with anyone, even basic stuff like what you would like for breakfast or what your favorite color is, let alone what your hopes and dreams are for the future, or talking about philosophy, theology, history, politics, what have you. Communication is a human right, and RPM is taking people out of a world of silence and bringing them into the world of open communication, where they can share their hopes, their dreams, their fears, their goals for the future. Some of the most compassionate, kind, and intelligent people I've ever met are non-speakers. And I only know that because of RPM. Sometimes called typing to talk or spelling to communicate, it's all basically the same thing. But if you don't know a non-speaker, you probably will at some point in the future. So you need to be aware of this information. Once again, the website, halo-soma.org. Also, tune into episodes 277 and 548 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. And don't ever get a vaccine or an experimental gene therapy or give it to someone that you love. Thank you so much for listening to the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. Please tune in again tomorrow. I will be here. You be here too. Goodbye, and God love you.